Hey, hey, Heat Nation! Welcome back to Heater's Gonna Heat. I'm your host, Kyle Russell, here to chat a little about our favorite NBA team, through the good and the bad, the Miami Heat. So, a bit of a downer note at the time of recording, just because coming off of a bad loss to the Indiana Pacers yesterday, has Miami pretty much just locked into the play-in tournament at this point. So, game plan, as usual, go through last week's games, leading up through the disappointment yesterday. Middle segment, pretty much talk about what Miami has left to play for this week. Try to find some value out of that. And then we'll look ahead to the last week of the regular season before we get into postseason activity. So, this is full enough episode for today. We start going back to last week. Miami going 2-2 to bring their overall record 43-35. We start last Tuesday with Miami hosting the New York Knicks, a game that they won 109-99. Out for the injury report, Tyler Hero just would be the only person out for the Miami Heat on this Tuesday game in particular. More about him later on. And then for the Knicks side of things, that it had been announced that Julius Randle would be out for the remainder of the season due to shoulder surgery. And quick side note, a lot of Knicks fans out there blaming Jaime Jaquez for taking the charge that led to the injury. The one thing I would point out in addition to that, and this was a quote from Julius Randle himself, which was he got back from that injury, tried to get back into game shape, and then it got further re-aggravated. So maybe you want to blame Jaime a little bit for the initial cause. I personally don't, because, again, I'm of the mindset these are just injuries that happen through the course of competitive play. But if you want to do that, sure, then also blame your medical staff for pushing him out there too early and getting him re-aggravated and re-injured. Back to the game, though. Knicks without Julius Randle, and they would also be without OG Anunoby, which at this point I wouldn't be surprised if he's out for the remainder of the season, just because, you know, if Randle's out, there's kind of a ceiling on what the Knicks can do, so you maybe start to pivot to next year. For the recap of the game itself, though, for who actually played, both teams started off well offensively until the Heat closed on a 12-2 run to be up 12 after the first quarter. And while the Knicks would trim the lead down to 5 early on in the second, the Heat expanded their lead back up as much as 15 by the end of the second quarter going into the half. So feeling pretty confident. So far, so good. Just don't screw it up in the second half. Third quarter, Heat kept a double-digit lead through most of the third. It did slip to 6 at one point. Knicks doing a good job of trying to rally in the third. But still, it stopped there. Heat had it back up to 10. At least they had a double-digit lead going into the fourth. And then fourth quarter itself, the Heat held a 12-point lead throughout most of it, but then gave up a 12-0 run to have the game tied at 92 when Haywood Highsmith hit a huge three to give Miami the lead and to help propel a 17-7 close that eventually bring us to our final score, 109-99. Player of the game for this one, Terry Rozier, team high 34 points, along with 5 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 block, on an efficient 10-15 from the field, 8-11 from 3-point range, 6-6 from the free throw line. 12 points in the first quarter just to get him going early, and then just sprinkled the rest of his points throughout the remainder of the game, including some big free throws in the fourth quarter as well during that 17-7 run to close. So Terry Rozier started great. Great throughout, finished great. I got to give it to him. Interesting stats for where Miami won this game. Won it mainly off of three-point shooting. Miami going 17-38, good for 45%, to the Knicks 12-34, good for 35%. So 10% advantage towards Miami there, as well as a few more made threes. And then they were able to tie the Knicks, which was in offensive rebounds, which was significant because they had Mitchell Robinson back. And maybe, sure, still knocking off some rust from just getting back from a long-term injury. But still, the idea with Robinson and part of the Knicks' just general idea is they get more offensive rebounds to get more field goal attempts to make up for any inefficiencies in the shot. So with Miami tying them in offensive rebounds, and actually winning second chance points 11-7, that was a major blow to what is usually a strength of the Knicks. And then honorable mentions before we get out of this game, Haywood Highsmith, 14 points off the bench on 6-11 from the field, 2-4 from 3-point range. I like to see the offensive game kind of rounding around, and just him being able to contribute on the offensive end, I guess, is maybe the most important part, because we know the defensive contributions are there. So now he's becoming a more legit 3-and-D player. and then carving himself a good role. Jaquez, not as much of a good night, just 3 points and 1 of 2 from the field. And I think it was like Highsmith 28 minutes, Jaquez 12. I could probably see a situation, like I mentioned on last week's episode, where the two of their minutes become linked in the sense of like if one's having a really good game, the other one maybe gets a little less minutes or vice versa. But that's for the Knicks game, though. Moving on, we continue on the last game Miami would host last week, Thursday, hosting the Philadelphia 76ers in a game that they lost, sadly, 105-109. For the injury report, just Tyler Herro will be listed out for the Thursday game as well. Sixers, meanwhile, get Joel Embiid back, but they would be without Tobias Harris and Robert Covington, who are at least two significant rotation players. Recap for the game itself, Heat fell behind 17-2 early on in the game, just anemic coming out the gate offensively, and really had to dig themselves from there, going on a late run in the first quarter to only be down 10 afterwards, which felt, again, you start 17-2 hole, you're down 15, you get it to 10 by the end of the first quarter, it sucks that you were there in the first place, but you're moving in the right direction. Halfway through the second quarter, the Heat fought back to take a brief lead, but then gave up a 20-1 run to be back down double digits. Though they would close well the second quarter again to only be down 8 at the half. So, yes, some wild swings, but again, you look over the balance of the quarter, still trending in the right direction. Third quarter, lead hovered around 8-10 points until another great close by Miami. This time saw them take the lead going into the fourth quarter up by 1. And then in the fourth quarter itself, the Heat extended their lead up to 8 about halfway through. And again, this trend that had been going through all game with the Heat just steadily getting back into it. And it seemed at this point like, all right, great. You know, they started off terrible, but at least they got the win. Nope. They got outscored 14-3. They made one field goal over the last 6 minutes of that game to drop it 105-109. Demoralizing, deflating loss. Player of the game, I give to Kevin Love here. 11 points, 16 rebounds, 4 assists on 5 of 10 from the field, though 1 of 6 from 3-point range and no free throws. But at least he put forth some effort. Like, did a great job leading the bench unit, had an impact. Like, he did his role. He went above and beyond his role. If they win this game, it's in large part because of the work Kevin Love did. Stats for this game. Sixers mainly just shot better. That's the only way to explain pretty much what happened down the stretch, right? Overall, Sixers went 39 of 94, good for 42%. The Heat went 39 and 94, good for 42%, to the Sixers, 43 and 92, good for 47%. And I would imagine it would look much more in the Heat's favor if you took out that last 6 minutes. Heat won second chance points, free throw attempts, offensive rebounds, though they did lose turnovers, but Philly's a good turnover team, so that could have been understandable. It pretty much just came down to those last 6 minutes and nobody being able to make a shot for the Heat, and it ultimately doomed them. Honorable mention for this game. This is a game where the role players really did well enough. Like I mentioned, you know, Kevin Love already, but they just didn't get enough from the stars. Jimmy Butler, 20 points, good, but on an inefficient 7-17 from the field. Bam, 14 points, on 6-15 from the field, not really doing enough. And similarly, the Sixers were getting everything from their two best players. Tyrese Maxey with like 37, and then Embiid in like I think it was 29 and 28 minutes, something like that. They did well enough, and also because of this, the Heat Sixers are now tied 2-2 season series, which means you have to go to further on tiebreakers to make that better. We'll get back to that a little bit later on though. Next game, Miami wouldn't get much time to wallow because they would go on the road for a back to back last Friday at the Houston Rockets, a game that they would win 119-104. And, to make things better, Tyler Herro back. The Heat with a full 10-man rotation for the first time in maybe since they acquired Rozier? Like, before the trade deadline? It's been a while. It's been a while. I mean, this is the first time Hero's been back since pretty much the post-All-Star break. But recap of the game itself, Rockets got out to an early lead, though the Heat did tie it up at 27 by the end of the first. And then after some back and forth in the second, the Heat took the lead and were up 5 going into the half. Third quarter, a little bit of a similar story. Heat just kept adding to their lead. No big runs or anything. They up 10 going into the fourth. And then in the fourth quarter, their lead got as low as 6 before a 12-0 run by the Heat essentially finished things off. They were up almost 20 and just coasted through the last few minutes from there. A player of the game, I give this one to Bam Adebayo. 18 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, a block, an efficient 7-12 from the field, though no 3-point attempts. But 4-4 from the free throw line, which has been good considering he's been worse at the free throw line lately, to put it nicely. And dropped 12 points in the second quarter as Miami both took the lead and then expanded upon that initial lead. So kind of just set the tone in this, helped set the tone in the second quarter. And then from there, the Heat rolled through the rest of the game. Interesting stats for this one. Heat won field goal percentage battle, going 44 of 89, good for 49%, to the Rockets 34 of 90, good for 38%. So that 10-plus percentage advantage going to Miami this time around. Tied in turnovers, 9-9. Points off of turnovers, 15-15. And despite losing offensive rebounds, 8-12, they did tie second chance points, 15-15. So just, for the most part, just did a really good job of limiting any trouble areas that the Rockets could have tried to get into, and then doing better shooting themselves. And then mentions here, Hero, first game back, 17 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists on 7-14 from the field, 1-4 from 3-point range, though 2-4 from the free throw line. Overall, looked good and did come off the bench and seems to be doing so, at least for now. Last game on the docket, this is the one that hurts the most. Yesterday's game against the Pacers and the game that the Heat lost 115-117. Really, really close. Injury report, Heat still healthy. Nobody that dropped from Friday into Saturday, at least. Recap for the game. Heat's defense came out just really, really bad. And the Pacers steadily added to their lead until they were up 14 after the first quarter. I think it was like 38-24. So that shows you right there, right? Miami's offense, not that much of a problem. The defense, though, to allow the Pacers to score 38. And I think that was definitely the highest scoring quarter that they had for the rest of that game. So at least they locked in afterwards. But again, you already dug yourself a hole. Now you got to try to dig out of it. Miami did try to dig out in the second, but the offense went flat for a while, giving up a 10-0 run to be down 21 points in the second quarter. But thankfully, a Bam Adebayo buzzer-beating three would cut the deficit to a manageable 17 at half. Like, at least it's under 20, and you could say you're moving in the right direction. Third quarter, Heat could never get on a good run. Still down 13 going into the fourth, but at least you trimmed it a little bit. And then the fourth, the Heat did, to their credit, mount a furious comeback, getting as close as 1 in the last few seconds. But they just were never able to close the gap. The Pace dug themselves too big of a hole, and the Pacers kept them at just enough of a length away that they walked away with a 2-point win, Miami losing the game. Player of the game for the Heats, Jimmy Butler, actually. He deserving of this. 27 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 1 steal. Not his most efficient night, though. 7-16 from the field, 1-3 from 3-point range. Though, really great 12-12 from the free throw line, and looked more aggressive, trying to get to the line, trying to make an impact. I still, at this point, have some concerns because we're in April and we're not exactly seeing Jimmy just look like one of the best 15 players in the league. Again, trying to put that nicely. Stats from this game. 3-point shooting really hurt Miami early on, going 8-27, good for 30%. Though the Pacers actually had finished worse, 9-32, good for 28%. So that ended up helping swinging back in Miami's favor. But early on, that was a big contributor to the hole that they fell in. And they did lose turnovers 7-6 and points off of turnovers 6-9. I think that's more so an indication of the Heat not getting to one of their strengths, which is, I mean, again, like, 7 turnovers of their own is really great for them. But Indiana only having 6 of their own, that usually speaks to like the Heat defense not doing good enough job to force turnovers or to pick up steals. Thus, didn't get to their easy points. Honorable mention before I finish this game out. Hero, 21 points on 6-12 from the field, 3-7 from 3-point range, 6-6 on the free throw line. And a lot of the actions going through him in the fourth, though still coming off the bench. So might be a situation, again, a little similar to what happened in 21-22 season, where he comes off the bench, and sure, he's not playing with the starters, but he is in the closing lineup, and for good reason. And I think that did show and was part of the contributing factor to the big comeback Miami almost made last night. So silver lining, maybe something positive, because the other big mention here is the Heat lose the tiebreaker to the Pacers, and that's it. That's the season series. So that's another team right in their reins that they don't own the tiebreaker against. So after that, Miami is effectively locked into the play-in tournament. So for the middle segment, what I want to do is just kind of expand upon pretty much the Heat being stuck in the play-in tournament, and what do they do then for the next week? So for the first part, okay, is there a chance that the Heat get the sixth seed? Yes. They could even get higher if several things break the right way. But realistically, can they get the sixth seed? No. Because essentially what that requires at this point is it requires the Heat to go on, at worst, like a 3-1 out of the last four. Obviously, the best would be 4-0. And then other teams to go through a catastrophic close to the season. So, for example, over the Pacers, could the Heat still get the sixth seed by leaping the Pacers in the standings? Yes, technically. Pacers have three games left. But the Pacers cannot finish better than 1-2, while the Heat cannot do worse than 3-1. So, for example, if the Pacers finish 1-2, the Heat have to finish 4-0 to have a better record than the Pacers, because they cannot tie since they lost the tiebreaker. Or the Pacers could go 0-3, and then the Heat could go 3-1, and then they would have a better record that way. Those are the kind of what we're talking about, and they're just various situations similar to this. Could they get it over the Cavs? Sure, Cavs have three games left. Same thing, though. Well, a little bit different because the Heat have the tiebreaker over the Cavs, but the Cavs have one more game over the Pacers. So, effectively, it ends up being kind of the same kind of record that they would need with the Pacers. Heat would have to go like 3-1 or 4-0, whereas the Cavs would have to go 0-3, 1-2 in order for the records to tie, and then Miami would get it over the tiebreaker. It could happen, just not banking on it. Knicks on the tiebreaker over the Heat. Knicks have four games left. They would have to go 0-4. The Heat would have to go 4-0. Any other permutation of that, the Knicks would still be above the Heat in the standings. The Magic. Magic have four games left. Heat on the tiebreaker over the Magic. Hey, what about that? Same situation. Magic, four games left. They can't do any better than 1-3. They have to go 1-3 or 0-4, and the Heat would have to go 3-1, 4-0 to catch them in the standings. And then on top of all that, they still would have to stay tied or better than Philly. Philly with three games left. And then because they lost that game to Philly last week, the tiebreaker's now 2-2, and then it's like division winner next, but Magic are going to win the division over the Heat. And the Celtics are going to win the division over the Sixers, so it doesn't go to division winner. And then I believe the next one after that is conference record. And the Heat do still technically have one, they have a one-game lead in the conference over the Sixers. But hey, at least there's one potential lead there. But you get to the end of it all, and then hopefully that makes sense now, right? Like, the Heat have to go insanely well this week, and then they need one other team to go pretty much just right into the gutter at the worst possible time for the Heat to get out of the play-in tournament. And I just don't think that's realistic at this point. So, all in all, very unlikely. So what does that mean then for the Heat to move on to the other part of the middle segment? What does that mean then for the Heat that they play for this week? Well, I do still think they put in the full effort, because you don't want to be in the position where, say, you just give caution to the wind and you don't care and you lose Tuesday, Wednesday, and then you turn around Friday or Sunday and, oh, well, you could have actually made a play for it if you tried to win those games. So I do think the Heat still give full effort in the Tuesday game, the Wednesday game, and then later on in the week, like the Friday and the Sunday game, or when we see, hey, how's everybody else looking in the standings? Is this even worth trying, kind of thing? But there are a few answers I think the Heat could try to find this week. So, for example, one of which being, what do they do with Tyler Hero? I am of the mindset that at this point, you try to ride with Duncan Robinson as your starter, Hero off the bench, and let him just focus on being that six-man role throughout the game, and then come in and being an insane closer. I've just come around to that. That said, I do see a counter-argument where Duncan Robinson has not looked good over the last few weeks, in part because of a back condition. So maybe that then opens the door on you one of these games. Like, say you come to a Friday game, and it doesn't matter because of the other teams have already won, so you're playing meaningless games at that point. Maybe you just tell Duncan, like, hey, man, you're going to go rest for now, and we're going to start Tyler Hero and just give us see how that goes with him alongside, like, Rozier and Jovic and Bam and Jimmy. At the very least, expect Tyler Hero to get a fair amount of minutes this week as they try to make sure that he's shaken off any rust and is ready to go for the playoffs. Another thing that I think that he could look for this week, just trying to build rhythm with rotations. This is the first time in at least the post-All-Star break that they've had their fully healthy 10-man rotation. I mean, actually, shoot, even before that, they were playing Josh Richardson a lot, so he went down with a season-ending injury. So, yeah, they actually probably have not had this, not probably, they have definitely not had this rotation the way that it is the entire season. So, play the rotations. Let them build some chemistry. Get them some minutes together. That's still worth it, right? Jovic is getting better almost every game he starts. I didn't even get to shout him out, but he was a phenomenal addition in that Pacers game and was part of the reason why they were eventually crawling back and was closing down the stretch as well. He was inbounding plays near down the stretch. So Jovic continuing to grow. You still have four more games to see what more you can get out of him. Haywood Highsmith off the bench. He's finding his shot. He's finding his role in the offense. That is going to pay huge dividends. Maybe you need to lean a little bit off of Jaime Jaquez because he's hitting a little bit of a herky wall, and you try to get other players, you know, more ingrained to the rotation. Different things like that. Like, Spo, you can get a little wacky with it down the stretch. Because, I mean, by the time we get to Friday or Saturday, we might just, like, have nothing to lose because we'll be locked into the play-in at that point. And then if we do get to like a Friday or a Saturday and it's looking really bad, the last thing that the Heat could start to do, just rest players. Hey, if we're not going to get that week off because we'll be in the play-in tournament, might as well start getting some days off now and get ready for the play-in tournament to try to get done. Because again, at the very least, if you can't avoid the play-in tournament, you want to at least win your first game on Tuesday. Not only so that you get the 7th seed and avoid Boston, but also so you don't have to play another game on, was it like Thursday or Friday when they end up playing that second part of the matchup. So rest them now, try to win that first game, get a little bit of rest then. It's not much, but it's the end of the season. This is about where we're at. We're just waiting until next week when everything goes up a significant degree. Moving on, let's just talk about the last week of the regular season before we get to the playoffs. As usual, let's first look at the injury report, and a good number of names on the list might seem a little scary at first, but like I alluded to in the last segment, at this point I think the Heat are trying to find a balance between, like, hey, is this game actually meaningful? Like, could it actually contribute to us potentially getting a 6th seed? And then later on, if not, then no, they'll just start resting players. So, like, currently on the injury report, Orlando Robinson, Duncan Robinson, Terry Rozier, Kevin Love, Nikola Jovic, Bam Adebayo, again, long list. But they're all only listed day-to-day with, like, little nagging stuff. So, again, the impression I have is they'll have the right to pull the players whenever they want and say, oh, look, see, we told you that this person was already injured. Or they might just say, hey, tough through it because this game could actually be meaningful for us. Looking at the standings, we pretty much already went through that in the last segment. The Heat currently at 8th in the East, even falling behind Philly. But at this point, it's just about the last four games and how that ultimately impacts seeding. There's no chance that the Heat fall below 8th. That has been officially locked in. It's just a matter of can the Heat pull off a miracle to dig themselves out of 8th. Because again, even where they're at right now, they wouldn't even get home court. So maybe they should try to play for that for the last few games. Speaking of the remaining four games of the schedule, Miami has one more game on the road tomorrow, and then they return home for the last three games of the regular season. We start first tomorrow at the Atlanta Hawks. This is a Hawks team that has a 36-42 overall record, good for 10th in the East. Miami up 2-1 after the last game. It was a loss mid-January. It was like DeJounte Murray hit a three-pointer with like 2 or 3 seconds left and ultimately stole that game out from under the Heat. Looking at the injury report for the Hawks, definitely out Trae Young, Sadiq Bey, A.J. Griffin. I apologize, I cannot get the guy's first name, but I know his last name, Okongwu, all out. I know those are at least like rotation players for the Hawks. I mean, definitely Trae Young. But at this point, I wonder if they're holding Trae Young out just to trade him in the summer and lean more into DeJounte Murray. Speaking of players to watch out for the Hawks, DeJounte Murray, dude, takes big shots. Got to at least give him that. And then Jalen Johnson, who, as I understand, is like a growing two-way wing, a little bit of a gem that the Hawks found recently in their draft. Looking at the stats for the Hawks, 10th in offensive rating, 28th, though, in defensive rating, 6th in pace. So a little similar to, again, like your Indiana's, your Washington's. Well, maybe that's a little bit of an insult to include Washington in there. But just high-paced teams that are looking to lean into their offense, and whatever happens on the defensive end, so be it. Things that the Hawks are good at. 2nd in field goal attempts, 9th in three-point attempt rate, so you know a lot of those field goal attempts are coming from 3. And then 4th in offensive rebound percentage just to try to get some extra possessions. Things that they're bad at, 29th in opponent effective field goal percentage. So Miami should have a good time shooting against them. And then 24th in opponent assists. I mean, that could be an avenue where the Heat get the ball pinging around, get some good looks converted into great looks, and then just clamp down enough on the defensive end. I don't see too much concern from this Hawks team. Storyline going into the game, can the Heat bounce back from what was a pretty demoralizing loss in the Indiana Pacers yesterday? Or are they resigned to themselves, to their fate? Like, if they go in there and just lay an egg, like, okay, the Heat just don't care about the rest of this week, we can know that then. But I do still think at this point they're going to go in and give a damn and at least try to get to 7th place and have home court in the first round of the play-in tournament. After the game, Tuesday, the Heat return home and host the Dallas Mavericks on Wednesday. It's a Mavericks team that is surging right now, 48-30 overall record, 5th in the West. Heat already down 2-0-1 after losing an early March game. I think that was like a massive fourth quarter comeback by the Mavs, if I remember right. Looking at the injury report, Lively, the rookie center for them, might be out, but that's about it. So players to watch out for, that's Luka Doncic, first-team All-NBA player, one of the best players in the league. And then Kyrie Irving backing him up, just an absolute ball wizard. I mean, your defense is going to have its hands full just dealing with those two. So looking at the stats for the Mavs, 9th in offensive rating, 16th in defensive rating, 7th in pace. So a little bit better balanced out than the Hawks are. Things that they do well, a lot of things on the offensive end. 11th field goal attempts, 8th in effective field goal percentage, 2nd in three-point attempt rate, only 2nd in turnover percentage as well. So barely turn the ball over, credit that Luka Doncic. He's generating them good looks from 3, probably on the kickouts. And because they're low turnovers, they're getting a lot of field goal attempts up. And then because they have Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, makes sense that their effective field goal percentage is so well. So offensively, they're just a really efficient machine. And then for things that they do badly, it's really only rebounding. 25th in offensive rebounds, they don't get a lot of second chances, but that's also probably them not crashing the offensive boards as much to get back in transition, to lean more on their defense. And then defensive end, they're 20th in defensive rebounding percentage. So there could be an opportunity for Miami to maybe gang rebound a little bit and get some extra possessions there. Though that's typically not the Heat style. But mainly for them, it's about being like serviceable on the defensive end at just about everything, like no particular bad areas, but no particular great areas. And then offensively, they're just so good with Doncic and Irving that that's how they end up winning their games. Storyline for this one, though. What will the Heat have left in them on the second night of a back-to-back, considering they'll be playing Atlanta Tuesday, and then, well, this is not as much of a flight, but it is still a flight, and it is still a second night of a back-to-back. And then for the Mavs side of things, they're currently in 5th place with 2 games above and 2 games below. So I'm not quite sure exactly what they have left to play for either, considering they're kind of locked into their position. So maybe an opportunity for the Heat to get an easy one if they rest Doncic and or Irving. And then to finish up the week, the Heat will host the Raptors this Friday. There's a Raptors team that currently has a 25-53 overall record, good for 12th in the East. It's tied 1-1 after mid-January. We got stomped. I think it was by Gary Trent Jr. for like 28 or something. He made the ton of threes. I remember that. Looking at the injury report for the Raptors, again, it's a tanking team, so a lot of names on the list. Scotty Barnes, Poeltl, Boucher, all questionable at least. Who's even going to play for them? Players to watch out for the Raptors, if you're not including all the names that I mentioned, because they're actually out, RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, Gary Trent Jr., because he killed us last time. You know, it's kind of question mark. Like the Raptors have been bad recently, like really, really bad, because they're trying to tank. They want to keep their pick. because I think they owe, it's like top six protected or something like that. So they are heavily incentivized to just suck. And I think that shows on the injury report, which then begs the question of like, all right, who do we really need to watch out for when we play? That's what I said. Like, yeah, RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickley, those are players that have hurt the Heat in the, and Gary Trent Jr. They have hurt the Heat in the past. So at least make sure you shut them down and trying to let them hurt you again. I say this, though, after TJ McConnell had, like, the 20th great game in a row against the Heat for the Indiana Pacers yesterday. But moving on to Raptors stats. 24th in offensive rating, 26th in defensive rating, 12th in pace. Not good on either end, but hey, they get up and down and get a little cardio in. Things that they're good at, 5th in assists, 8th in steals, 10th in personal fouls, 4th in opponent free throw attempts. Like, those are some good things, but it doesn't really all stitch together into anything coherent. And then bad, 25th in three-point attempt rate, so Miami can do a good job shutting that down. 27th in opponent effective field goal percentage, Miami can get some good shots. 28th in defensive rebounding percentage, so there's some opportunity on the offensive glass for Miami. And then 27th in opponent assists, again, try to get the ball zipping around. Zip it around, get the good to great shots, and don't turn the ball over too much, I guess. Storyline for this game, what's there going to be left to play for by the time we get to Friday? Do the Heat try to build some rhythm, or do they start resting players? That's why I mentioned in the last segment it could happen as early as Friday. And then the last game on the schedule, Game 82, Sunday, hosting the Raptors. Same exact team, so there's not really much I can say in terms of like record, injury report, players, stats. Just the storyline will be different. Last game of the season, who even plays for the Miami? Are there any adjustments for Friday, or are we just trying to get through this last game as quickly as possible before getting to the play-in tournament? So, next up, next week, will be the play-in tournament. And the question that's on my mind, at least now, and what I'm going to try to answer next week, can the Heat go on another historic run from the play-in to the finals? So, for now, I do thank you for hanging around. That'll be all for this episode. Please, if you can, follow the pod at Heaters Heating and myself at KBR Heat Culture. Also, check out the other great pods we have at OTG Basketball, Full Access Pacers, Celtics Lab, Brooklyn Buzz. Still doing great stuff over there. Links for everything on the show notes, as usual. I'll be back next week. So, until then, hope you all have a great one, Heat Nation.